Music has been a blessing today. Thank you very much. And let's take our Bibles, go to Luke chapter number 15. Luke chapter number 15. Once you find that, if you're able, I invite you to stand. Luke chapter number 15. Beginning in verse number 1, reading down to verse number 7. Luke chapter number 15. In verse number 1, the Bible says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. The Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." Okay, stop right there. From that point on to the end of the chapter is going to be Christ's response to the scribes and the Pharisees and their murmuring. And so in verse number 3, he spake a parable, or this parable, unto them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he called together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for your word. And Lord, how it is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, has the ability to do a work in every heart and life that is here today. So I pray that through the preaching of your word, that you would draw all men unto yourself, and that your work would be done, whatever it is that needs to be done in each heart and life. And we'll be quick to thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. If there was one group of people that had a keen understanding of God's loving care and the way that he provided and took care of his people, it would have been shepherds. As a shepherd would have went about his daily work and he would have tended to his sheep, as he would have sat back and reflected on the sheep and on his relationship with God, he would quickly realize that there was a vital connection. One such shepherd, he understood the loving care that he gave his sheep. And he understood that it was very much like the loving care that he received from his God. And so David, he took out his pen and he began to write, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That shepherd, David, and his psalm, it became a part of Israel's working definition of God. Likely before, but no doubt after. From that point, when people thought of God, they could not help but think of him as a shepherd. In fact, they would pray in times of trouble, Psalms 80 says. like this. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. Turn us again and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. This great truth that God is a good shepherd, it was further developed in the lives and through the writings under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God of the prophets. Isaiah emphasized God's loving care for his sheep when he said he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, carry them in his bosom. He shall gently lead those that are with young. But some of the prophets, as they wrote, they pointed out a problem. See, God had entrusted the work of shepherding to the spiritual leaders of his people as well. But they were not always good shepherds. And Jeremiah 23:2 accused them of scattering the flock and God's flock. Ezekiel's condemnation was even harsher. In Ezekiel 34, he says, the diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which is broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty ye have ruled them. And they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the fields. When they were scattered, my sheep wandered through all the mountains. And upon every high hill, yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. According to the prophets, God's sheep, his nation, they were lost. But the prophets also saw a solution to the problem. The good shepherd. The one good shepherd that would one day come and he would seek and he would save his people. So Ezekiel, he gave this message from God to the nation of Israel. For thus saith the Lord God in Ezekiel 34, behold, I, even I, will search my sheep. I'll seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so I will seek out my sheep, and I will deliver them out of all the places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. Again, Jeremiah would make a very similar promise or prophecy and say that Israel's saving shepherd would be the son of David in Jeremiah 23 again. So by the time we come to our text, what the scripture said about shepherds and about the good shepherd, it was very familiar to those Jesus was speaking to. It would have been very familiar to the scribes and to the Pharisees who were constantly attacked and trying to discredit Jesus during his earthly ministry. See, these are the very men, these scribes, the Pharisees, these were the very men that they would have claimed that the Lord was their shepherd, and they would have considered themselves to be spiritual shepherds. But they failed to recognize Jesus as the good shepherd. They failed to recognize God's promise to come, and that Jesus was God's promise to come and to save his people. And they certainly did not see themselves as the problem. So rather than helping the lost sheep of Israel, the scribes and the Pharisees, they misled them. On top of that, they were deeply offended when they saw Jesus, the good shepherd that had come, when he saw him associating and helping those that were lost. See, Luke opened up this chapter again by saying that they drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. The scribes and the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners. He eateth with them. That word sinner there in verse 2, to the scribes and Pharisees, it would have been a catch-all word. It would have been for all the people that in their minds had a notorious reputation for bad behavior of all kinds. When they said sinners, they're thinking of thieves, they're thinking of drunkards, they're thinking of prostitutes, they're thinking of anyone else who refused to conform to the rules and regulations as they had set them forth. These scribes and Pharisees, those that were supposed to be shepherding, supposed to be leading, They stayed as far away from these people as humanly possible. And as far as Jesus was concerned, their sorry condition and where they were and the fact that they were sinners was exactly the point. It was the reason he came. These outcasts were the lost sheep of Israel that had been talked about all throughout the Old Testament. These lost sheep of Israel were the very people that Israel's shepherds were supposed to rescue and the very people he himself had come to save. Jesus doesn't say it directly, of course, but by telling this story, here's what he's telling us. That he's the good shepherd who came to save the lost sheep. This story of lost sheep, it's the first part of a larger parable that is really three stories in one parable. What follows is a discourse, like I said earlier, that's going to run all the way to the end of the chapter. And it not only includes a story of lost sheep, but it includes a story of lost coin and a story of a lost son. The first story that we're going to look at this morning of the lost sheep is divided into three parts. The shepherd's quest, the shepherd's burden, and the shepherd's celebration. Let's look in verse 4 at the shepherd's quest. As this shepherd discovers that one of his sheep is missing. Verse 4, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? Here's a shepherd, a man, and he has 100 sheep. In my mind, immediately that tells me he's doing relatively well financially. And so that things are fairly well for him. In our day of wastefulness, we might be prone to think, well, it's not that big a deal then. I mean, this man is wealthy. He has 100 sheep. But, I mean, what's the big deal? I mean, he certainly could afford to lose one sheep or two sheep. It's not that great of loss, is it? It is if you're that sheep. It is if you're that one. This was not like us. The shepherd loved his sheep. He's not like us. He loved all of them. He couldn't stand the thought of even losing one. And so leaving the rest of the sheep behind, presumably in my mind, under the care of a helper or a servant, he went to look out and seek for this one sheep that was lost. This lost sheep was in a dangerous situation. They tell me in my study this week, sheep are very easily disoriented. And once they get lost, it's almost, if not nearly impossible, for them to find their way home. And as they stray, they're a very defenseless animal. They'd have been defenseless against almost any danger. And left on its own, sooner or later, this lost sheep would have fallen from a cliff. He would have died from starvation. He would have been torn apart by some wild beast. Sheep do not adapt to the wild. When they wander, they're in great danger, and the only thing they can do is wait for somebody to come rescue them. This is a picture of our spiritual condition. Every one of us. I know our minds are on sheep and shepherds, but our minds should be on our own hearts. Because apart from Christ, every one of us, we're also lost in a rocky wilderness. We're also wandering in the wastelands. We fall into sin and we starve for lack of spiritual food. To our terror, there is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And we cannot find our way back to God on our own. All we can do is wait for Jesus to come and find us. And if he does not save us, we will certainly be destroyed. Like the shepherd in the story, God goes after his sheep. When we are lost, when we have wandered on the far hills of disobedience, when we are alone and afraid, when we are wounded and weak, when we are defenseless against our enemy, when we are unable to save ourselves, it is just then that Jesus comes to rescue us. I say Jesus because this story is really a story about him. One of the central themes of all of the book of Luke or the Gospel of Luke is simply this, that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Here Jesus compared that seeking and saving work to the shepherd's quest for his lost sheep. Jesus is a good shepherd who travels a wild terrain. He climbs a steep hill. He goes down into the rocky ravine. He braves every danger. He goes as long and as far as he had to go to find his lost sheep. As we see from the end of verse 4, the good shepherd will stop at nothing until he has achieved the goal of his quest. With patient endurance, he seeks until he finds. I'm telling you, that's encouraging to me. It's encouraging because I've known of some prodigals. Some of you have wayward children, wayward grandchildren. There are those in this auditorium and you have lost loved ones. You have those that you prayed for and continue to pray for day after day after day after day, and you desire for them to be saved. And I am here to announce to you on authority of God's word in this text that you can rest assured that the good shepherd is actively pursuing your loved one. He's actively pursuing that wayward child, and he's not going to stop pursuing them. He's not going to stop seeking them. He's not going to stop going after them until he finds what he's looking for. As much as we admire the shepherd of this story, what Jesus has done for us, so much more remarkable. Because if it was not only one sheep out of 100 that Jesus came to find, that he came to seek out, but you understand our Savior, the good shepherd, he must track down every last sheep because the whole flock is lost. As the scripture says in Isaiah chapter number 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own ways, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. See, there's not one single sheep in here that hasn't gone astray. We all are or have been lost. Therefore, Jesus has a quest that is 100, a million, a billion times harder to fulfill. But he'll do it. He will fulfill God's ancient promise in Ezekiel 34. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. What hope this gives to anyone who is lost in the spiritual wilderness, anyone that has wandered away from God, anyone that has been wounded by this falling world, I'm here to tell you Jesus is in pursuit of you. He is seeking for you. If you've wandered away, if your heart has become cold and hard, I'm telling you Jesus is in pursuit of you. He is on a quest to bring you back home. So we have the shepherd's quest. But then there's the shepherd's burden. See, it's one thing to find a lost sheep. But it's another thing entirely to bring it back home. No sooner has a shepherd fulfilled his quest, found his lost sheep, but notice what verse 5 says. When he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders. This picture, it's not hard to picture. The scene is not hard to picture. Once he found his lost sheep, the shepherd drapes and reaches down and he picks the sheep up and he drapes it around his neck. He firmly grasps its four legs together in front of him. And he begins to make his way back toward home. No doubt the shepherd can feel the weight and the warmth of his sheep. The rise and fall of his breathing. The beating of his heart. The sheep is close enough to nuzzle the shepherd's face. But the sheep is exhausted. It's exhausted by the struggle that it's faced in the wilderness. It's too weak to walk back home alone. So the sheep has found safety and security in the shepherd's arm. By the way, this would not have been an easy burden. They say that a full-grown sheep weighs more than 100 pounds. It took a good measure of physical strength to carry a sheep back to the fold, especially if he had wandered far in the wilderness. But the shepherd wouldn't stop at anything less. He was not only able, but he was willing to bear that burden. What a comfort that gives to all his sheep. Weary and worn, we do not have strength to come home. Nevertheless, our good shepherd will lift us up in his mighty arms, and he will gently carry us back into the fold. You say, that's quite a burden, 100 pounds. Yeah, why don't you consider for a moment the heavy burden Jesus shouldered for our salvation. See, even as he taught this parable, Jesus was getting ready to do the heavy lifting of redemption. He was on his way to Jerusalem. And it was not just one little lamb he needed to carry, but every last sheep, meaning all of humanity. The place he needed to carry them. Every one of them was to the cross. Well, what was the burden? When Jesus lifted us up, the burden he had to bear was the dead weight of our sin, the sin that killed him on the cross. Earlier, I noted in Isaiah's prophecy that all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. The verse ends by telling us what it would take for our Savior to rescue us and redeem us. It says this, "And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." In other words, the Savior had to do something more than simply bring his sheep home. He had to bear the weight and suffer punishment for our sin. Jesus did not simply come to lift us up out of the troubles of life, though praise God he does that, but he came mainly to bear the weight of our sin and to do so by dying in our place on the cross. He is the good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep. I love the words of Peter who said, who his own self bare our sin in his own body on a tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. You say, what does that have to do with this text? Listen to verse 25. He says, "But ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of our souls." How in the world, as sheep going astray, can we return to the shepherd and bishop of our souls? Only because he bore our sin in his body. The shepherd's burden. It doesn't end there. The shepherd's celebration. The shepherd has great joy in finding lost sheep, bringing them back home. Having completed his quest and carried his burden, he starts to celebrate. Although, in fact, the celebration may have began while he was still in the wilderness. If you look at the end of verse number 5, here's the words you're going to find. Rejoicing. Underline it. Highlight it. Circle it in your Bible. Because the shepherd is so overjoyed to find the lost sheep that he goes singing all the way home. Here we catch a glimpse of the joy that Jesus has in bringing us to God. Even our great joy in being saved does not surpass the joy that he has in saving us. Do you understand that? The greatest day of my life, February 13th, 1983, as an 8-year-old boy, when I accepted Christ into my heart and as my personal Savior, and I received forgiveness of sins. That day is the most joyous day of my entire life. There's nothing more joyful than the day that you ask Him to come in your heart. But this text is telling us, it's reminding us of something. The joy that you experienced in receiving Christ doesn't compare to the joy that he had in saving you. Do you get that? Imagine with me for just a moment. And some of you have been there, some more than others. You're in some public place, maybe in an amusement park somewhere. Your whole family's walking through the amusement park when all of a sudden you look around and you start to count and you're missing one, a 3-year-old, and they're gone. And you begin to search frantically and you begin to run around. Elders and brothers and sisters, they begin to run around. You go here, you go there, you go into bathrooms, you look around the rides, you're looking everywhere, you can't find them. 20 minutes goes by, 30 minutes goes by, 45 minutes goes by, 90 minutes goes by. You've not found the child. You're beginning to panic when all of a sudden you hear your name called on an intercom telling you to come to guest relations. And you walk in And there's that child with a big old smile on their face sitting there waiting for mom and dad. That child's going to be awful joyous to see mom and dad. But that joy is not going to compare to the joy that mom and dad experience for seeing that child. That's what this text is telling us. What joy and relief it is for the sheep to be rescued. But the story forces us to understand that the rescuer had greater joy than the one being rescued. It reminds me of what the Bible says in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. What's it say? Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The joy that was set before him. Having suffered the agony of crucifixion, his joy is to come and to find lost sinners who are still wandering in the spiritual wilderness. His joy is to save us by the preaching of the gospel, to send us the Holy Spirit, to welcome us home to his Father. No one enjoys the salvation of a sinner any more than Jesus does. So when we tell him how grateful we are to be saved, he truly can look back at us and like a Chick-fil-A employee say, "It was my pleasure." That was for Brother Stepp. I don't know if you have to say that back in the kitchen, but there it is, a little plug. The joy of Jesus is infectious, as we see from this parable. Verse 6, when he cometh home, he called together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." So great is a shepherd's joy that he cannot help but share it. And as he comes home in triumph, with the spoils of victory draped around his neck, he shouts to the first person he sees, and one after another comes out until the whole community joins in celebration. A man by the name of Mike Inkpen, he wrote a children's book several years ago called The Lost Sheep. Here's how he describes the scene in his child's book. He said, at last, the shepherd returned home with his lost sheep. The other members of the flock were euphoric. Indeed, they are absolutely the happiest sheep that anyone has ever seen. They smile big, toothy grins. They raise their hooves in triumph. They celebrate with balloons and streamers and noisemakers. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb and think that the author may have taken a few liberties with the biblical text there. Okay? But I think he's captured the right mood. See, the key point in this entire chapter is the joy of God finding what was lost. What a joy it is when Jesus finds a lost sinner. For someone to repent of sin and trust in Christ is the greatest joy. Jesus brings the first part of this three-part parable to a practical conclusion by inviting everybody to share in this joy. When he says in verse 7, "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." Jesus wants us to share the joy that he has in finding lost sheep. Well, how do we do that? Well, one, you share in that joy when you admit that you've gone astray and that you need him to come find you. No doubt about it, he's searching you. He's searching for you. He's calling you out today. He's there and you're in the wilderness and he's calling your name and he's waiting for you to cry out and say, "Over here, I'm over here, rescue me, help me." You will share in his joy when you accept being found and ask him to save you and carry you home. So if you're here today and you don't know 100% certain if you was to die today, you would go to heaven. If you have been convinced that you're lost in your sin and you're lost in the wilderness, I'm here to say he's in pursuit of you. You hear him right now through his Holy Spirit. He's calling your name. And all you need to do is say, "I'm here. I'm here. I'm listening." And receive his help. And once we're saved, there are times, let's be honest, when, as the songwriter wrote, "Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. I wish that I could say that the only time that I ever need rescued was as an 8-year-old boy when I was lost. But way too many times, can I say it this way about me, and you can say it however you want about you, way too many times as a dumb sheep, I've walked away from the flock. I've moseyed out into some areas I didn't need to be. I've wandered away from where God would have me to be. And I am thankful through the preaching of God's Word, through the help of the Holy Spirit of God, through daily devotions, through the encouragement of a brother in Christ, that God has pursued me and sought me and brought me back home time and time and time again. And if you are there today and your relationship with God, you have wondered, it's not where it needs to be. I am begging of you, the great shepherd, the good shepherd is in pursuit of you. Be rescued. Come home. We can share in the shepherd's joy when we have a heart for lost sheep. We share his joy by joining his quest to seek and to save that which is lost. That's missions. It's what he's called us to do, to get involved, to be good shepherds with him. And to go rescue the lost. I want to say this and we're done. The joy of salvation should never falter. There's hardly a Sunday that goes by at Bethany Baptist Church that God doesn't save somebody. So much so that occasionally we're like, another sheep got rescued today. We should rejoice, and we should never lose our joy, whether it be the youngest of children, a bus kid, a grown man like last week, or whoever it is. When somebody is saved, we should join in and truly rejoice and celebrate that there was a sheep that was lost in the wilderness, and the good shepherd found him and brought him back. And rescued him, gave him new life. And we got to see that and witness that. Every head bowed, every eye closed.